Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of the Benson Grove Baptist Hour. On behalf of Pastor Billy Cashwell and all of your friends at Benson Grove, let me welcome you to a Spirit-filled hour of singing and preaching from the Word of God. We invite you to tune in every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on WCKB. You can contact us at 919-894-4120. We would love to hear from you and to know that you're listening. Now let's join the broadcast from Benson Grove.
Give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. Yes, he's worthy. He's worthy this morning. He's worthy every day. God's good all the time. Yes, he is, but he ain't just good. He's what? He is great. He's beyond any word that we can ascribe to him this morning. He's our everything. He's my rock, as I was reading about this morning. Glad to know he's my rock. Boy, take me, Lord, take me to the rocks higher than I. He's something else this morning. I'm going to tell you, he's something else this morning. Amen. If you're glad to be here, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's good to see all of you here in the house of God. Let me recognize our visitors. If you're a first-time visitor, never been to Benson Grove before, would you mind raising your hands high in the air so ushers can see you? Never been to a worship service at Benson Grove? If you wouldn't mind lifting your hand up so they can see them and give you a visitor card, please fill that out and put it in the offering plate. It's passed a little bit late in the service so we can have a regular view attendance. We're delighted to have you here today. We welcome in the name of the Lord and welcome those on the internet and radio audience as well. We're glad to have all of you here in the house of God. And I tell you, he's worthy this morning, so we come for him. And so without further ado, may we go to him in prayer. The choir's going to come and sing in just a moment. Let's just invite God into this place to have his way. Amen. We can't have church today. We cannot worship appropriately unless he's here today. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning and we say thank you again, oh God, for the opportunity. God, to call upon your name here in this time that we have set aside to give you your everything. And Lord, I pray, Lord, as we lift up holy hands to you, Lord, as we cry out to you, as we come to you in the name and in the person of Jesus Christ through the Spirit this morning, God, I pray, Lord, that you smile down on this place and visit us with your presence here today. Lord, we proclaim first and foremost, Lord, that you are welcome here. You're worthy to be praised, and we give it all to you. I pray, Lord, that you would have the preeminence in this place today among your people. God, that there be nothing between our soul and the Savior, Lord. God, that we just give it all to you. We give ourselves to you in this place this morning. God, I pray that real worship happens here today. God, there's a lot of worship in different places where there's a lot of worship in spirit, but no truth. There's a lot of worship in places where there's no spirit, but truth being given out to people, Lord. But I pray that both would be found in this place today. God, that you'd bless your man as he enters the pulpit here today, Lord, to speak the words of life. God, that it'll make a difference in who we are as we worship you, as we live for you, as we are rejoicing in being saved by you this morning. God, I pray that you'd bless your man. God, I also pray for the person that may be here this morning doesn't know exactly what we're talking about because they have no relationship with the Savior. God, would you make it real today? God, would you draw them down to this old-fashioned altar, God, and alter them through eternity? And when they cry out to Jesus, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner, and ask you to save them. Lord, I believe you'll do it. And Lord, I know you will. You save somebody like me, and if I can be saved, anybody within the sound of my voice can. Lord, it's for the world. It's for everybody on the face of this earth, God, that they will trust in you. And Lord, if you'll make that happen here today, Lord, it'd be wonderful. You're wonderful anyway. God, I pray, Lord, again, you'd have your way. You'd bless those who could not be here. Lord, bless those that are going through troubles and trials, God, and hardships that, Lord, we don't know about. I know that there's some folks around about us, Lord, lost loved ones here in days gone by, even just a few moments ago. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you'd draw close to those families, Lord, that are trusting in you. God, that you'd send the comforter their way. Lord, those that are dealing with sickness, Lord, that you touch them because you're the master physician. Lord, that you touch those just going through hardships, Lord, that they'd be willing to cast their burdens on you, Lord. And that, Lord, as we looked at your word the other night, it's a comfort. No, you'll take our burdens, but God, not only will you take our burdens, you take us and pick us up too. God, we love you and we praise you. We pray that you'd make yourself known here today, Lord, and have your way. Come in and take over, Lord, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Miss Jan, there's a place up here for you to sing. Well. Choir's got a song for you this morning that talks about I got saved. That's a good song right there. Just the title of it says it's going to be a good song. How many glad, again, are you glad to be saved this morning?
Amen.
I'm glad to be saved this morning. But just real quickly, as I'm looking at the words of this course, it says, I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. You ever thought about that? You ever felt, when you stopped walking, you ever felt God's mercy bump you over real quick? Because think about it. His mercies follow me all the days. Are you with me? All right, finish that. What does his mercies do? How long? Oh, my goodness. So I like to think about it. I stop walking, and they bump into me because they're right behind me, right? I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. Has it been good to you? I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? Are you glad to be saved this morning? I am. I got Jesus. That's all I need this morning. Amen. Listen to the words of the song and worship. Just worship with us. Amen.
tiny fingers reaching upward, baby eyes already searching for the truth. Lord, with thankful hearts we celebrate this gift of life as we dedicate these little ones to you. Send your angels to watch every step along the way. Let your love always shine on their face. We ask in the name of your own precious Son, your blessings on these little ones. Little feet, Lord, we pray you will guide them. Little ears, may they always hear your voice. Surround these tender souls with heaven's holy light, and with loving hearts to share your peace and joy.
Send your angels to watch every step along the way. Let your love always shine on their face. We ask in the name of your own precious Son, your blessings on these little ones.
Thanks for
so much. I appreciate that, Brother Cabot, Ms. Jana. The Word of God teaches believer baptism. That is when a person gets saved. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and then you're to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then teach them. So we don't practice infant baptism because we believe in believer baptism. That is when somebody accepts Christ, they hear the message, and they get saved. But it's always been our delight that when parents ask us to, we dedicate their children to the Lord. And there's biblical basis for that. In the Old Testament, Hannah was childless, and she prayed earnestly that God might give her a child. And she made this promise. She said, Lord, if you'll give me a child, I'll dedicate him to the Lord, and he'll be yours as long as he lives. And so when he was born, she sure enough brought him back to the temple, dedicated him to the Lord. And she said, for this child I prayed, and I'll give him back to God, and as long as he liveth, he's lent to the Lord. And so this morning, I'm glad that John and Becky have come to dedicate Cassidy, and Jeff and Ashlyn have come to dedicate Lainey. And so if the parents have come, the baby have come, and the grandparents that want to come, and would invite the whole crowd, but we don't have, thank you, Brother Joe Barry, I don't have enough room for everybody up here, amen, but we'll just get as many as we can up here today. And Charles, if you'll help Mama there, amen, praise the Lord. How many of you glad you're here? Say amen. 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 I thank God for the gift of life, amen. Let's see, if y'all want to get on this side, and then they'll come on that side, and Regina, you stand here in the middle with me, how's that? Amen. Praise the Lord. And we got Townsend Hunter as well today. Thank the Lord for babies. Amen. And I'm very thankful for what God's done for me and for our family. We're thankful for the Lord blessing us so. And this morning we come, the parents come to dedicate these precious little girls to the Lord. And this is Cassidy, and this is Lainey, and Lainey Brooke, and Cassidy Rose. And I'm thankful for them. And I'm going to just stand here, families, if it's all right. And you've come this morning to dedicate your child to the Lord. And let me say this. In dedicating your children to the Lord this morning, will you once again reaffirm your commitment to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Teach them about the Lord and raise him that way. And if you will do that, will you say, we will?
We will.
We will. Now, church, now thank you for praying for them, and I ask you to continue to pray for them. And let me say, while Becky and John live down at Carolina Beach and Jeff and Ashlyn are here, I want you to please pray for them, and you'll support them. And will you be faithful to the Word of God? And as these children grow, will you assure them that you'll be there to pray for them and give biblical guidance and to love them and pray for them? And we'll maintain our stand on the Word of God so that they can hear the gospel clearly and come to know Christ one day. If you will, as a church, will you say, we will?
We will.
Amen. Now we're going to dedicate them to the Lord, and I'm going to take Cassidy in this arm. Amen. Now we do this a lot at the house, sitting down. Now, help me get it turned around a little bit, Jeff, this way. Got it. Are we okay?
There you go.
Okie dokie. Amen. It's a little easier in the rocking chair at the house. Amen. Will you bow with me for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, you are the giver of all life, and thank you for blessing our family, moms and dads, with these precious gifts you've entrusted to them. Children are a heritage from the Lord, and our Father, there's no greater responsibility, no greater privilege than to be a mother or a dad. And I pray, God, that you would bless them, that they might love you and serve you. Their children might feel the love of God in their home. And I pray, God, that they might hear the gospel on a regular basis. And I, Father, that these little girls one day would come to know Christ. I pray you'd put a hedge around them. I pray, our Father, you'd keep them from sin. Bless them. I pray they'll learn to love you and walk by faith. And God, I pray your blessing on them. We now dedicate them to you, into your love and your care. And God, we pray that you'd bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Want to sing a song? Okay. Okay, she got that from her papa. Amen. But she'll sing, and Lania will sing too before long. Make sure we get her hit. There you go. Got her. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, let me present these gifts, first of all, to John and Becky. And this is a commitment. We commit ourselves to the Christian nurture of Cassidy Rose. And this dedication takes place at Benson Grove Baptist Church today, and there's a place for y'all to sign. And so we have a dedication certificate and then a Bible. That's your Bible right there. Got your name on it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then to John, Jeff. Jeff and Ashlyn, this is Lainey Brooks, since you're dedicating her to the Lord today. And this is her Bible. And God bless y'all. Amen. Thank the Lord for you. Amen. Thank y'all. God bless you. Love you. Amen. Everybody, all right? Good. Okay. All right. Y'all can be seated. Thank you. Amen. And Charles, he'll help you. I know you will. Amen. Thank y'all so much. Amen. God bless y'all.
Now children's church time. Now children's church time. It's 6 to 10 out the back door. See Miss Jana going to the door right now. So children's church time. 6 to 10 out the back door, and then 3 to 5 over here to my left or your right. So children's church time. Let's take our song books out and find the song Send the Light. Send the Light. I lost my page there. 374.
There's a call comes ringing for the restless waves. Send the light, oh send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, oh send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore.
Greet your neighbor in the name of the Lord.
We have heard the message. Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, oh, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore.
Ushers, be making your way down toward the front, please. Ushers, be making your way. A lot of things to remember. Of course, they're listed in your bulletin, I think. Of course, on the end of this month, the last Sunday of this month, evening service, we'll have the Tribute Quartet with us. And, of course, be marking your calendars down for that as well. And on April 30th, the last Tuesday in April, which is the last day of the month as well, Brother Ralph Sexton Jr. will be with us. And from 6 to 7, he'll go over if you're thinking about the Israel trip, he'll do a Q&A over some of that as well. And then from 7 until, he'll be going over some Bible prophecy teaching or whatever the Lord leads him upon that night to do. So remember that. That's going to be a great teaching that night. And so come on back on April 30th to hear Brother Ralph Sexton. Of course, the 5th Sunday night, same tribute quartet. Lots of other things in between. As you can see, we got our Easter set up, and it's going up, and I think they'll finish some of that this week as well. So be much in prayer about the Easter drama. Be praying about that now. Roughly 2,000 people will come to attend that. And all those people, just think about that. 500 a night, if you will, could be lost. You with me? And so we need to be praying about those folks now, okay? So their heart will be tendered, and it'll be fertile ground to receive the message of God through the drama. So be praying about those folks now as well. And, of course, I think Tim and Wendy, are they gone now? Are they going out this week? Or they leave tomorrow. So Tim and Wendy are leaving out to go be with Miss Bessie. She has surgery this week, so remember Tim and Wendy. And then, of course, I think Tim will be back, I know, Thursday night, I believe. I don't know about both, but Tim will be back Thursday night as we go through the drama practice again. So a lot of things to be thinking about and to put on your calendars and whatnot. But let's go before the Lord now and ask His blessing upon this offering. Miss Cindy Mayberry is going to sing. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You again for this day. God, we thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to present children to You, Lord, that we would do all we could to help them grow in the fear and admonition of You, O God. I thank You for the opportunity now to worship You today. Thank You for this opportunity to give back to You the things that You've blessed us with. And as we give our offerings and Your tithes, may You bless both the gift and the giver and multiply these things as You see fit. So ultimately, Lord, Your kingdom continues to grow. Bless Sister Cindy now and Brother Billy in just a moment. We love You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Red can't explain the color of a rose. White can't tell the magic in the air when it snows. Marvelous can't half convey the grace of the King. The only word for grace is amazing. There's no other word for grace but amazing. No other explanation will do.
looked beyond all the failures I had made. He forgave all the times I had disobeyed. He overlooked all the scars of sin I had in me. The grace he showed that day, well, it still amazes me. There's no other word for grace but amazing. No other explanation.
Bibles to an Old Testament passage this morning. I want you to turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, second law is what that means. It means just a repeating of the laws of God that's been given previously. And so many wonderful things in there. It's, you say, well, Brother Billy, that's just all related to Judaism. No, his truth's unchanging. There's some things in there that things have changed some over the years so far as some of the dietary things or whatever, which we would probably be good if we'd adhere to some of those things. And we no longer offer sacrifices, but there are wonderful truths in the book of Deuteronomy and others that we still apply in our lives today. I want to just testify a minute, and then I'll share with you. Thank the Lord this week. I've had some, just for a pastor, wonderful experiences. I ran into, talked to a couple of different people, and they said, well, we know so-and-so goes to your church. And sometimes, you know, you kind of wait to see what's going to happen, you know. anyway, and one of them was telling me, Brother Brian Dixon. I won't go in, call names or anything other than Brian's name, because I already told him. But anyway, the gentleman was saying I was inviting him to church, and he said, yeah, I know some folk. And then he told me, Brian, he said, I believe he's going to your church. I said, he is. And he had known him in days gone by. He said, I tell you one thing. He said, that young man loves the Lord. And said, do you know he could sing? I said, yeah, I kind of knew that too. He said, but he really has loved the Lord. But anyhow, the gentleman said that he may come visit with us. You pray for him. He's not currently in church anywhere, but you remember him in prayer. And thank the Lord for that testimony. And then I was talking to another businessman, and I was talking to him about some things in regard to the church and everything. And he said, you know, Brother Barry Barber was instrumental in leading me to Christ. And I said, I'll tell you one thing. I said, Barry's A+. He said, he's the real deal. He said, whether it's business or at church or anywhere you meet him, Brother Barry loves the Lord, and you can tell it in just a few minutes. And I tell you, that's a blessing to my heart as a pastor. And now that could be said of almost everybody in here except for me and Bobby Langdon. But at any rate, I'm picking on Bobby this morning because he's feeling good and he's picking on me, praise God. I pick back at him. But what a wonderful blessing. And then I got a wonderful phone call. Thank you for praying for all of my family that lives up in Virginia and some of my other family. I've asked you from time to time to pray for them. One of my nephews comes quite often, he and Robin,
And he's been saved just a few years now. He's on fire for the Lord. But his oldest brother, my oldest nephew, got saved several years ago when I was preaching in North Carolina. I am in North Carolina. But when I was preaching up at a church near my hometown, and he came to just hear me preach, and he came to the altar, and he got saved. And he was telling me about, I prayed with him at the altar and the pastor, and he said, I know the Lord saved me. But then he was very active in the church. I think one time was even serving as a deacon. And some things happened. He got out of church. He's been out of church for years. And I've been able to just, every time I see him, I speak to him, I talk to him on the phone, I tell him, love him, and the Lord loves him and everything. And then he had called and left a message, and he said, Billy, I want you to call me. He said, the Lord's been laying you on my heart for the last few days. And so I called him, and Regina just, she said, you need to call him back really quick. She actually listened to the message for me. And I called him, but some few weeks ago now, he rededicated his life to the Lord. He's in a church up there. All of his family's in church now. Several other family members are going to the church. The church is on fire for the Lord, and they're reaching a lot of people. But he's just really excited. And one thing kind of tickled me. He went to a friend of mine's church who's now in heaven. And it's the same church that Greg's going to now. But at any rate, many years ago when David got saved, he got saved at that church when I was preaching there, and he drove, which is about probably 15, 20 miles at least, back from where he lives down there. And that's the church he got very active in. And he said, you know, some time ago when God was really dealing with me, he said, I got to thinking, he said, there's a preacher, he said, that came preach one time at Lakeview Park, that's the church. And he said, God just really laid him on my heart. And he said, I thought a preacher like that, to be sure, has got a website somewhere. And he said, I looked it up, said, you probably ain't never heard of him. He said, but I'll tell you one thing, he's great. I said, what's his name? He said, Tom Gillum. I said, yeah, I think I've heard of Brother Tom. I said, he preaches for us every year. And he's been my friend for 40 years now, probably, and a half. But he went on Tom's website and been listening to it and some of the sermons on there. And he told me about the first series that he saw. He listened to it riding in his truck. And he said, God really dealt with him. But anyhow, thank the Lord for that. I'm glad. Aren't you glad that people can get right with God, get in church, and live for Jesus? Say amen. Amen. I'm thankful. God's still on the throne. He's still working. Amen. I want to share with you this morning from this passage of Scripture. Kind of, it was in my heart this week. Again, related a few little things. I have talked to quite a few people lately of our church family. And let me welcome all of our friends on the internet and those on the radio as well. We're glad that you're part of our services today. But I've talked to some who have been, what they said, worshiping at home. Some folk can't get out, but they worship at home. Now, I want to encourage you, if you possibly can, to assemble with God's people. Don't forget about what the Bible said. You ought to be at the house of God, and you interact with God's people. You get blessed. Sometimes you don't get blessed by the preaching. Sometimes maybe not the choir. Maybe something else. Maybe somebody in the foyer somewhere. But just to be with God's people. Bible said, well, to love one another, pray one for another, bear one another's burdens, forgive one another, all those other another's to one another. And he wants us to be a part of a body of Christ. It's a blessing to be a part of a church family. And so I think people ought to be in a church somewhere. But having talked with a few people who are currently not in a church home, and that is, they don't have a church family to go to, or they're not going to a church family, and they tell me we worship at home. We do our Bible study, and we just worship in our home. And there again, I want to emphasize to you that you ought to be in a church family somewhere. I encourage you. You need that. They need you. God gives you gifts. You're to use those gifts in that church. But I had this in my heart, and I've kind of dealt with it a little bit. I want to preach to you this morning about worshiping in the home. Worshiping in the home. If there's a failure among Baptists or at most any denominations, is that we go somewhere to worship, and then when we get home, it's a different atmosphere. You and I ought to worship at home. Our home ought to be a place of worship. And as I go through the New Testament, I find that the New Testament church started in homes. There are several references that I could give to you. We won't take time to go to them now. But in the book of Romans, Paul's writing and he's greeting different individuals and he's greeting the church that meets at the home of Priscilla and Aquila, the church that's in their house. Over in the book of Philemon, he talks about another church and another group of people, their church that's in their home. Now, they met in their homes because, number one, they were small in number. Paul has gone through an area and he's preached the gospel and so got saved. They were excited about it and so consequently they probably not involved in any kind of going into any other kind of gathering like in the synagogues and those type of thing. If they were Gentiles, certainly they're not going to go back into the heathen setting they were in. And so they worshiped in the home. It was a matter of that. They wanted to worship God where they could feel His presence. But as God blessed and more people got saved, they began to assemble. That's why Paul writes and he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so God's people gather. I was thinking about it when the Lord was dealing with me about this. We got wonderful families. Mine's one of them. And it's growing and multiplying. And we've got quite a few now that's got so large at Christmas or Thanksgiving or anything, they have to have their family gatherings in the fellowship hall. And if Barry keeps on, he'll have to have his in the football stadium somewhere. And what a blessing. But we get families do that. And I'm thankful they can. Isn't that a good thing? They could come and have a family gathering in the fellowship hall for a special time like that. It's just a matter that it's got so big, they all want to be together, and that's the way they do it. God ordained that local church, and they've come together. The family got so big they couldn't meet in homes, and so they started meeting in a central place, and God blessed them to do that. But the home worship is not to be neglected. In our church covenant, it says that if you join this church, that you will maintain a family altar at home. Now, and I'm going to do some confessing right off the bat. I'm going to read the scripture, but I'm going to do some confessing. When our children were small, we would read the Bible with them, read Bible stories every night. And we were involved. We had two different churches I've pastored. We started Christian schools, had Christian school. So we had school 5 days a week. We had regular services. We had camp meetings. We had revivals. And so our kids were just about always in church. And being always in church, when they got it to be teenagers and a little older and they were going here and that and the other to karate or baseball or softball or whatever and all those other things, we would pray at the table. We'd do those things. But I was head of the house, we didn't always have a family altar. And I have regretted that we got away from that. That's a time that we ought to maintain even on up to the long as they're in the home. There ought to be some time when you as a family get together and pray and read the Bible. I'll say more about that in a minute. But at any rate, when those type of things are so important in the home, but there's some things I want to say to you about worship in general. I want to read the text, then I'm going to pray, and we'll get out of here I got 6 minutes. And I talked too long. Look here in Deuteronomy. Look at Deuteronomy chapter, if you will, number 6 and verse number 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Do you remember in the New Testament, they asked Jesus, what is the great commandment? Now, he didn't say, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet, you're not having other gods before me. He actually quoted this, which is not a portion of what we call the Ten Commandments. He said, you're to love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, and soul. That's the great commandment, he said. And the second's likened to it, and that is that you love your neighbor as yourself. The heart of worship is love for our Lord. We worship Him because we love Him. And we love Him because He first loved us. And notice now, connected with that, he goes on. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. It's a heart thing. It's a matter of the heart. We worship Him because we love Him. But now watch. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of the house and thy gates. I'm going to leave off the reading there. He goes on and talks about what's going to happen when he brings them into the land. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Spirit would help us to understand, as we saw on a Wednesday evening, that we are to be worshipers. We do worship You, and we gather for worship. But our, Father, worship is to be the attitude of our heart all the time. It ought to be that way, our Father, at church, certainly. It ought to be that way when we gather in special religious gatherings, revivals, camp meetings, or whatever. But Lord, it ought to be that way at the house. We ought to love You and worship You at home. And I pray, God, You'd give me clarity of thought this morning. I pray, God, for the anointing and power of God, the Holy Ghost on me to share with Your people what You put in my heart. I pray, God, You'd make it easy. And I pray, God, make it simple enough that I could understand it and they could understand it. And God, I'll thank You and praise You and give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I find a unique thing in the Bible, and that is this, that anything God tells us to do is not for His benefit, it is for ours. When He said you're not to steal or to kill or to destroy, those are things that guard your life and they'll keep you. When He talks about certain other sins and things, He's telling us that for our very own good. It's all about us. And the Bible said that He gave Himself for us. And everything that He loves us with an everlasting love. And He's a God that giveth to all men liberally and braideth not. So when you come to worship, the Bible said, the Lord Jesus Christ said that God's a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And God seeketh such to worship Him. But why does He want us to worship Him? Does He have any inadequacy? Does He have some sort of a ego problem that He's just got to have somebody to worship Him to be fulfilled? No. And so it just came to me, got to thinking, He wants me to worship Him for my benefit. I find in the Bible that He desires me to worship. He said, God seeketh such to worship Him, and what He desires for us to worship Him. And then He directs us in worship through the Holy Spirit of God. You don't have to wonder how to worship it. The Bible, Spirit of God inside of us, we're to pray in the Holy Ghost and we're singing the Holy Ghost and all those things. Spirit of God directs us into worship. And then He delights in our worship. He just loves for us to worship Him. But what about, why does He want me to do that? If it's not something that He needs or something He's got to have, some sort of validation, and He's perfect in Himself, I believe there's something in it for me. What is it about it for me? Number one, if I worship Him in spirit and in truth, and I'm doing it really, I know this, it is for Him to disclose Himself to me. In worship, you see Him like He is. In worship, you acknowledge Him like He is. And I found that when I'm really worshiping Him, my mind is tuned to Him, my heart's tuned to Him, He floods me with other things. Brad was talking about it this morning, about he's thinking this week about Him and when God got to speaking to his heart about things. When you're worshiping Him, He begins to show you things. You see, when you worship Him, you worship Him with all your heart. And when you get close to Him, it's kind of like John when he leaned upon His breast. You remember that in the Bible? Brother Avery Rogers used to say, that's a wonderful place to be. Because when you're leaning on the breast of Christ, He reveals things to you that He doesn't reveal any other time. In that closeness and that worship experience, then He reveals Himself to you. You know more about Him. You sense His grace more. You sense His mercy more. You experience His holiness more, His love more. The closer you get to Him. In worship, my dear friend, He discloses Himself to you. But I found this to be true as I go through it. I've been looking at worship through the Bible. When you worship Him, He delivers us. He delivers us. You cannot really worship Him and have a fearful heart. If you're worshiping Him, the things you've been afraid of or worried about, He delivers you from all of that. All the concern of the world, it's like it's shut out. You're in a little capsule, just you and the Lord, and the cares of this world have left. The worries of this world have left. The fears of this world have left. He delivers you from all of that. And for that moment, you have a time when you're in a state when you're close to the Lord and nothing matters but Him. He's revealed Himself as a God who has all wisdom. He's revealed Himself to you as a God who has all power. He's revealed Himself to you who loves you with an everlasting love. He'll never, ever leave you or forsake you. And my dear friend, what in the world do you have to worry about? He that be for us, and God is for us, who could be against us? I mean, if we're the delight of His heart and we worship in Him, He delivers you from the fear of man. He delivers you from the fear of the future. He delivers you from the fear of financial problems and burdens and cares. He lifts you even from the fear of death. If you're worshiping Him, my dear friend, there's no fear of death. You're in His presence in worship, and to think that you could multiply that a million times over, that's what it would be like to be delivered from this body and to be His presence forever and ever, never have another sickness, never have another disease, to be in His presence. But what about worship at home? I don't have time. I'll have to kind of finish this tonight. But here's what I want you to understand. It is imperative that we worship at home. I'll just give you a reference. He said, when you worship at home, you're to teach your children the precepts. You worship and you teach your children. How do you learn? How do children learn? They learn from education, for sure, but more from observation. When you worship at home, you're training your children to worship. When they sense you, when they know that you're worshiping God, they know that the Lord's real to you. And I'm not talking about some, you know, walking around like you're holy, holy, holy. I'm talking about just loving Him with all of your heart, mind, and soul. I'm talking about being in His presence. And just when they understand and see in your life something that's different, you worship Him. Remember in the book of Proverbs where it says to train up a child the way that he should go, and when he's old and not depart from it? I've been thinking about that passage of Scripture. You're teaching him facts, but you're more teaching him faith. It says you teach him the way he should go. Now, you don't know all the paths they'll go down. You may not even be living when it's time for them to face them. But it is the way, it is the method of travel, the method of life that you're teaching them. There are certain guidelines, sure, things that they must abstain from, things they should do. But it's more the way of life. You're teaching them the way of faith. It's not just facts, but it's faith. And that you're teaching them that way, to live a life of faith and trust God. When it comes time for study and testing and everything else, you walk by faith and not by sight. You teach them that way. It's more than just teaching precepts. It's teaching the matter of prayer. When you worship at home, you're teaching your children to pray. We lived in a certain place in Florida, and there was a dear friend that we knew, and I knew some of his children more than I knew him. But they went to a Church of God, and we had an occasion when I would be near where he lived at, and late in the afternoon, just about dark, every day if I was close to his house, you could hear him praying inside the house. I don't know how many people over the years have told me, and Brother Donnie Tippett's one of them, that I remember Mama praying for me when I was lost and out in the world. And the precept of prayer, the reality of prayer, you teach them the way. Listen, if you learn to walk by faith and you learn how to get a hold of God in prayer, you teach your children you walk by faith and not by sight. You teach them that God's real, God's there. You're worshiping Him in at home. You're teaching them the way of faith. You're teaching them the way of prayer. You're teaching them the way of worship. When you know that Mom and Daddy's got a lot of pressure on them, but yet when they begin to worship God, when they begin to just praise the Lord at home, it seems like all the burdens and all the cares go. Worship Him. I'm not going to try to deal with all this. I feel like maybe God's got us to where we want to be. But here's what I want to say to you. I want you to worship at home. I want you to learn to just worship all the time. I don't mean just sit down and read the Bible. You need to read the Bible. But it is application of truth. He said, here's what you do. He said, you talk with them in your home. And then you talk with them, by the way, when you're fishing, when you're working in the garden, everywhere else, it's a way of life for you. It's not, you don't have a little 15-minute devotional time or 5-minute devotional time. When you're training them, teaching them, it's every day, every day, every day, every day. It's a way of life. And if it's real at home, it'll be real when you get to church. Just love Him, worship Him. When the problems come, the burdens come, and they see you go to God in prayer, believe in God. I remember Brother Mays Jackson telling a story many years ago. He was went with his daddy to the banks the day the stock market crashed during the Great Depression. He said he and his daddy went down on an old pickup truck, and when they got to the little old bank there in a little town, Hendersonville, North Carolina, where he was raised, there's a pile of people around the bank. And they were saying, standing on the front porch, they said, "There's no money. There's no money. There's no money in our bank. There's no money. It's all gone." And he said his daddy just broke down and turned around and went home. Said my daddy was crying. And he was just down. But his mama was a woman of faith. And he said when we got to the house, he came in the house and he was walking with his daddy. And his daddy looked at his mama and said, called her name, and I don't remember her name now. He said, "But we're ruined. We've lost everything. We've lost everything. Everything's gone." May said, "My mama looked at daddy, and she pointed her finger at him, and she said, let me tell you one thing. We still got God, and God's still real, and God's on the throne, and everything we've ever had, God gave us. And she said, God will take care of us no matter what. He's going to take care of us." And you know what? Mays Jackson that time was preaching all over this country. And as a little boy, he said, "Mama put in my heart to walk by faith and not by sight." And he said, God made it real. I'm just asking you this. Is it real? I may have told this. I don't believe I have. But a couple of times ago when the family was up and I had gone into my little office there at the house to read my Bible just a little bit on Saturday night, just before they'd been there, Bick and John, the babies, and all been there. And I just slipped in my little office there, left the door open, and I was reading my Bible and praying, just thinking about the service to happen on Sunday morning. And Hunter came in there, and he stood quietly for a few minutes. And then he looked at me, and I looked at my Bible. He said, "Papa, why are you reading that book?" I fought back when I was a little boy. And my daddy wasn't saved. But Mama had a big old black Bible upon her bed. And she'd read that Bible to me every night and pray. And pray that God would protect me and God help me and God would use me. And all of those things. And so we did that. I tried to read the Bible with the children when they were little. And our little girl, Christy, when she... And it was just before she died, not long before she died. So, for some reason or another, she spent the night with my mama. And mama said, she didn't tell me until after she had died, but she said that night they got ready to go to bed and she was doing something, and Christy had climbed up on the bed, and she reached up on the back of her bed and took that old black Bible down. And she said, "Granny," said, "will you read me the Bible like my daddy does?" Can I tell you, God's been good to me over all these years, but I'm going to tell you, you need to make it real at the house. Do you worship Him at home? Let's bow together for a word of prayer. I know I've just kind of rambled this morning, but there's something in my heart about it being real at the house. The way you train up a child in the way he should go, the way of faith, the way of prayer, the way of worship. God, the Holy Ghost will bless you. I was in line the other morning at Brother Johnny Deal's daddy's wake just before the visitation, just before the service. I was listening to people around me talking, and they were talking about Johnny's daddy. And they were saying he loved the Lord. He was just a simple country fellow that God blessed. But he gave God the glory. It was real to him. I don't know anything about how Johnny Junior was raised on thinking about their home life. But I'm just telling you from the testimony of people I heard, what he believed, he lived. If we don't worship him at home, they won't worship him at church. I prayed for these babies a while ago, and I pray for all the big ones and little ones that's sitting down here. I want them to know something from my life about the way. Train them in the way that they should go. They ought to go the way of faith, trusting Jesus as their Savior, learning to walk by faith and not by sight. The way of prayer. He said, if you call on me, I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Everything we've got, everything God's ever given to us, it was by His grace and His mercy. And Lot came by prayer and by worship. Don't ever, ever forget Him. Worship Him and magnify Him. Glorify Him at home. Testify before your children about His goodness to you and how He's been good. And that everything your family's got, God gave to you. Worship Him at home. Make it real. Will you stand together? Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God will move on the heart of your people this morning. God, you made this so simple for me to understand and reminded me once again that, Lord, it's not for show, it's for real life. That at home we ought to worship you. And we teach our family the way, by the way we live. God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God to make it real to your people now. As we're waiting before the Lord, we're not going to keep you long. But I want to give you an opportunity this morning. Maybe just slip around this old-fashioned altar. Maybe some of you, like my nephew David, saved, know you're saved, but you've been out of fellowship with God a long time. I shared with Brother David something God shared with me while I was preaching revival last week. Old Peter walked under the water, but when he took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. And he said, Lord, save me. And the Bible said, the Lord reached out his hand. He was right there at him. And I said, you know what? You can get a long ways away from him, but he won't ever be very far from you. He's right there with you this morning. You've been out of fellowship with him a long time. I encourage you to get around this old-fashioned altar and just worship him a few minutes. Ask him to forgive you. Maybe you've been praying about a church home. Maybe this is where God wants you to be a member and love you, love him and serve him here and have a place of worship as well as worshiping at your home. We invite you to come. Maybe you're not saved this morning. We invite you to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And there are good men, good ladies here who pray with you. I'll pray with you and help any way I can. But I want you to obey the Lord. Lord, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God will speak to your people. And we'll thank you. Deal with those who may not know Christ and draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. And God, I'll praise you.
Friends, you've been listening to the Benson Grove Baptist Hour. We pray this broadcast has been a blessing to you and that God's Word would speak to your heart throughout the week. If we can assist you, please call the church offices at 919-894-4120. We'd love to hear from you and to know that you're listening. We also invite you to attend the services at Benson Grove. The church is located on Highway 50, just 6 miles north of Benson. If you cannot attend in person, join our live internet broadcast every Sunday at 11 a.m. and again at 6:30 p.m. Just open your computer web browser to www.bensongrovebaptist.org. Choose the Sermons tab and follow the instructions on the screen. Join us for the Benson Grove Baptist Hour each Sunday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on WCKB. God bless you and have a great day.